dome. With the EPA out, it was up to the states, but they didn't have the money to investigate. Sick people couldn't prove fracking was to blame. All the while, water wells were going up in flames.
Cause it's hard to contain all the methane released. It can get into the air, it can get into the streams. It's a greenhouse gas worse than CO2. Fracking done wrong could lead to climate change too.
Now it's not that drillers should never be fracking, but the current regulation is severely lacking. Reduce the toxins contained in the gas and wastewater, and the people will get sick and the planet will get hot.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirtbag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirtbag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
K-B-O-O Portland.
Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, the membership coordinator at KBOO Community Radio. I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all the people that made our three-day December drive a rousing success. From our volunteers that answered phones, created great programs, and engineered live music, and to all of our listeners that called in or donated online, and to the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers. I would also like to thank and welcome the 40-plus new members to the KBOO community. Without your support, KBOO would not be what it is today. Thank you.
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. And here's what we have coming up for you this morning. Just coming up next, it's Angela Lin and Joseph Gonzalez of the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines today talking about For Whom We Rise Together, International Human Rights Day at Portland State University. Kathleen Stevenson is the host. And at 9:30, Paul Rowland is back to speak with KBOO reporter Yana Maximova, who is currently in Lima at the UN Climate Talks. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andres hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And 10:15 on Flashpoints, Dennis Bernstein speaks with professor and author Richard Falk about the report on CIA torture, and we hear an excerpt from a talk by music legend Carlos Santana. And at 11 o'clock on The Dirtbag, Glenn Andreessen welcomes representatives of two area beekeeping associations, Tim Wessels of Portland Urban Beekeepers and Tom Chester from Portland Metro Beekeepers, to talk about getting started in beekeeping and events in the new year. And thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for your community radio station. You helped us exceed our goal in our recent little mini membership drive we had. It was really exciting, and you guys came through, and thanks a lot for that. We really appreciate it. You can always go to kboo.fm and become a member there. And in just a moment, we'll get to Kathleen Stevenson with her guests from the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives, and I'm speaking with Angelica Lim and Joseph Gonzalez of the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. Angelica is the media representative, and Joseph is an organizer. They've been working on an event that is happening tonight. Today is International Human Rights Day, and the event is called For Whom We Rise Together, International Human Rights Day. It's at Portland State University. Welcome, Angelica Lim.
Thank you for having us.
And welcome, Joseph Gonzalez.
Thank you.
First of all, what is Portland Committee for Human Rights, and what's its connection to human rights in the Philippines?
So Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines is an organizing committee comprised of workers, students, young professionals, migrants, Filipino and non-Filipino alike, all working towards addressing human rights violations in the Philippines, and also extending it to the international community, addressing what we think are the current problems that in the Philippines. So looking at bureaucrat capitalism, imperialism, and feudalism, and how that affects our people back home.
And how long has it been around? How long?
It's been around for about 12 years. And it started in, 2005. Oh, yeah, 2005. So we started in 2005. Yeah.
And you've been working with it for how long?
I have been with Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines for two and a half years.
Great. Now, talk a little bit about the importance of International Human Rights Day.
So so with the current conditions that we're facing in the United States and all across the world, we're noticing that it's a really important time for all of us to kind of come together in a solidarity and unified front to address the worsening conditions, not only in the Philippines, but all across the globe. We're currently in the Philippines, we're looking at just the most recent militarized occupation of the Philippines, resulting in the murder of Jennifer Laude, a trans Filipina who was killed by a U.S. military individual. And so we are looking at that, seeing how those are connected to the U.S. We're looking at cases of intense militarization of the police state. So we're looking at Michael Brown, Eric Garner. We're also addressing the 43 students who are disappeared in Mexico. So we're just trying to connect these international human rights violations and start to make connections so we can start to build people power.
Mm-hmm. So is one of the basics of the connection the fact that there's violations of human rights by the military and by the police?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, the event that you're having tonight, the event that's called For Whom We Rise Together. Talk about that, what that's going to involve.
So when we came up with the theme, we were thinking about who, as organizers, who we do this work for. We continue to tell, who motivates us to continue to wake up every day and fight for the people in the Philippines, fight for the people in the United States. And so that's why we came up with the event. But tonight we will be honoring and remembering people who have died by human rights violations, and also honoring the people who continue to fight in the struggle to bring justice to the folks who have who are victims of human rights violations. We hope to showcase a plethora of different organizations from the Portland area that will be giving solidarity statements, cultural performances. We also plan on having an area where we can kind of display faces of people who have experienced human rights violations and honor them all throughout our communities.
And where is the event?
The Native American Center.
Which is on the campus of PSU,
yes.
Sort of towards the south end.
Yes,
of the campus.
When you're going up Broadway, it'll be right at the south end, yeah.
And the times?
The time is 6:30 to 8:30 this evening, and it's free and open to the public.
And who do you want to attend?
Everybody. Okay. You, I want you to. We would love the general public of Portland to be there. And specifically, really focusing on the fact that we want to organize. We are bringing out different organizations. So hopefully when people come, they can start to figure out how they can start to make some change. Maybe join an organization, start to understand that Portland is doing a lot of really wonderful and progressive work that we can all get involved in to be a part of change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Angelica Lim. She is with the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. She's the media representative. Also with us is Joseph Gonzalez, who is an organizer with the group. And you mentioned the case of Jennifer Laude, is that how you say mm-hmm. her last name? Mm-hmm. Transgender Filipino woman.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what her case involved and why it's so important in this movement to protect the human rights of Filipinos.
So in mid-October, Jennifer Laude, a trans Filipina, was recorded being with Joseph Pemberton going to a hotel. Post that case, we see Joseph Pemberton walking out, and Jennifer Latte was found murdered. After that, what we're seeing is U.S. military keeping Joseph away from actually getting, actually bringing justice. So the demands for Jennifer Latte's case was to be able to try Joseph with the Filipino government. Mm-hmm. And so we're addressing the Jennifer Latte's case, but specifically the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement and the Visiting Forces Agreement, which is the EDCA and the VFA, policies that are unequal and unconstitutional that continue to maintain that U.S. military can occupy the Philippines. So what we're asking is the removal of U.S. military, because we're seeing that with the occupation of military, that there is increased violence towards the Filipino people. There is increased prostitution towards not only women but LGBTQ folks in the Philippines. So not only is it it is about Jennifer Latte, it is about trans lives, and it is also about making sure that the Filipino people are safe from U.S. military occupation.
Right. And for those of us who aren't that familiar with it, what is the military presence in the Philippines like?
So currently, the EDCA and the VFA occupy the Philippines in a way where there's just base camps that are taking up the Philippines, and that they've been there for a long time and continue to stay there for no reason. There's not a war that's going on in the Philippines. It's just based on the act. So we have an ongoing presence of U.S. military there with actually no reason to be there, based on U.S. interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you know how big the presence is? I mean, what the number of people or approximate number of service people are there? They're just the extent of their presence and where they are. Are they all concentrated in one place, or are they all spread out over the country?
They're all spread out over the country, but recently there was an article that came out that said there are 6,000 military forces, or 6,000 military individuals located in Davao, which is in the southern part of the Philippines. So this is actually, like, this is 6,000 being in a small concentrated area. So we're looking at a constant increase of military occupying.
And you mentioned prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the state of prostitution in the Philippines and how it is influenced by the military presence.
Well, we're seeing that with the U.S. military presence, that U.S. military are kind of aggravating and perpetuating the worsening conditions for women in the Philippines, making women more vulnerable to either access jobs that are not necessarily necessarily safe. So we're talking about women who are being commodified, women who are being used, their bodies being used because this is their only access to work. Mm-hmm. So and that's being based on the fact that U.S. military continues to take up space and
create the market for women.
Yes, which we're seeing. Yeah, exactly.
Joseph, let's bring you into the conversation a little bit. You're an organizer with the group. What does your work involve with the Portland Committee for Human Rights?
Well, last summer I was in the Philippines and to help with relief work with Typhoon Haiyan, which was about 9 months afterwards. And let me just tell you a little bit about that. When I saw, when I went there, a lot of it was still unchanged. It was there's a lot of people still with homes that weren't really fixed yet. There was a lot of just tarp roofs and like walls concaved in. And what I heard a lot from people was that NGOs, non-government organizations, were mostly the providers for relief goods instead of government funding.
Oh. So you're talking about the typhoon that hit the Philippines in 2013 and it was so greatly destructive in the country, and people are still recovering, and it sounds like the recovery is not total. That, I mean, tell me a little bit how you would react to what the state of the recovery there is.
Well, it's very slow because, like, it's a lot of the relief goods have not been delivered, and a lot of the funding that we sent from here in the U.S. is still circling around in banks that haven't been deposited to the people. So it's definitely a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add something to that?
I mean, also part of what we're looking right with D10 or for whom is the human rights violations that occurred post Typhoon Haiyan, which is where we brought, or where Joseph went to do some rehabilitation and relief. The slow response of the Filipino government we see as a human rights violation. We see that the, what we call a sloth-like response and a lack of distributing lots of goods is something where now, since the Typhoon Ruby or Typhoon Hagupit has hit, though it was not as extreme as Typhoon Haiyan, we are still concerned for our people who have barely been able to kind of just breathe, right? Mm. Who were still living in tents as of this typhoon. So we see this. We would call the Typhoon Haiyan not just a natural disaster, but also a man-made disaster due to the slow response.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Global warming, hasn't it had an impact on
absolutely, absolutely. And so when we talk about our international solidarity work, we also really want to bring to the forefront that a lot of it has to do with climate change, and a lot of it has to do with environmental justice as well. And how do we start to see countries like the Philippines who are developing but not developed, right? Third world countries. How do we support countries and do our work in climate change and in environmental justice?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you plan to go back, Joseph, and do more relief work there?
Well, I'm currently thinking of going back next summer, but mostly for our current campaign, which is our Save Our Schools campaign, and which is where we are helping to build schools in Mindanao. Mm. And those schools that are up in, they're up in indigenous communities where they don't receive any social services whatsoever. So helping build schools up there and helping them so that they aren't red tagged by the military down there as well.
What generally would you like to see the U.S. do regarding, or not do regarding, the Philippines?
Oh, excellent. That's a great question. So we have actually just relaunched PDX Relief, which is part of specifically relief and rehabilitation for the typhoon-affected areas. So that's one thing we would love to see the U.S. do, come together and really recognize that people in the Philippines are still really hurting from typhoon. And in general, as we see tonight, start to build solidarity alliances among people to understand that our liberations are connected, right? That we in the Philippines, when we did not get an indictment for Michael Brown, we had people organizing in the Philippines or showing signs of solidarity, saying that we stand with Mike Brown and Mike Brown's family and the United States against police state violence. So we're looking for reciprocity. We're looking for the people in the United States, for us, me, myself, as a Filipino-American, to really understand that, like, the U.S. plays a really intense and violent role in how the Philippines is treated. So part of it is removing the EDCA or the VFA, making sure that the Filipino government is true to the Filipino people and not trying to pander to the needs of the U.S. So part of that work is to understand how the U.S. plays a role in the Philippines. So I guess understanding that.
Yeah, and what is your opinion of the current Filipino government and its relationship to the U.S.?
I think that the Filipino government is could do a lot better in being for the people, pro people. President Aquino does not serve the interests of the Filipino people, and we really want to make sure the Filipino people and Filipino Americans who organize under PTRIP, who organize with us, really want to ask more of him, if not make sure that he brings justice to the Filipino people. And we think that the relationship between the Filipino government and the U.S. government is not healthy for the Filipino people.
Yeah, does he receive much pressure from groups that are counter to the usual U.S. relationship, the usual U.S. military partnership with the Philippines?
Can you say that one more time?
Does he receive much pressure from groups like yours?
Yes, absolutely. We organize under BIAN and BIAN USA in the Philippines, and which is a multi-sectoral organization. And there are women, migrant workers, students, youth who really organize around making sure that Aquino is held accountable for his people.
Great. I am speaking with Angelica Lim, who is the media representative for the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. Also, here is Joseph Gonzalez, also of the group, and he is an organizer. And again, the event that is happening tonight is called For Whom We Rise Together, International Human Rights Day. It's at Portland State University. Again, Angelica, remind us again about where and when this event is tonight.
So the event is at Portland State University at the Native American Center from 6:30 to 8:30. There should be arrows through the Portland State campus that will guide you, and there should be a link on the Facebook website.
And you mentioned there's going to be cultural events, so there'll be
music, dance. There will be some presentations. There will be, and it just depends on which organization. So we have representatives from Brown Girl Pride, the BSU, the Black Student Union. We have representatives from Oregon Fair Trade, and some representatives from PTRIP. So a variety of performances, all honoring and paying homage to people who do the work and people who have lost their lives through human rights violations.
Great. The issue of the current storms, the typhoon that recently hit the Philippines, I just wanted to ask a little bit more about that, about how people are dealing with it and what kind of message you'd like to get out about what people can do about that, or what the state of things is related to that.
Absolutely. So I mentioned earlier, we have just relaunched the PDX Relief, which will continue to focus on genuine relief and rehabilitation. There were tens of thousands of people who were evacuated in the areas that were most prone to Typhoon Hagupit. Though it was not as intense as Typhoon Haiyan, houses hadn't been rebuilt, infrastructure was still very weak. We were barely healing from Typhoon Haiyan, and we were just hit with another typhoon. So I guess the message that we want to send to people is that rehabilitation is necessary. Relief and rehabilitation is an ongoing process that needs all of our attention, that it's not just a one-time thing where we just nod to the Philippines and understand that it was hit by one of the strongest typhoon, but that it's an ongoing process, that we need to rebuild communities, schools, and make sure that these schools and communities that are in typhoon prone areas that are sustainable, that can withstand, and that we can also build help to like bring up the infrastructure. So in the case that another typhoon hits, that we have like a very solid plan, you know? Mm-hmm. So looking at what am I trying to say? Please go to our website on Facebook and pchirp.com or pchirp.org, pchirp.org, and contact us. But we have restarted PDX Relief that helped raise over $1 million nationally. Or PDX Relief was part of NAFCON, which is the National Alliance for Filipino Concerns. And then NAFCON helped raise over $1 million towards relief for Typhoon Haiyan. So we are starting PDX Relief in hopes to add to that and continue the relief effort towards the Philippines.
And spell out that website for us, for people who might want to connect to your website.
So our website is pchirp.org, and I believe there is a link to PDX Relief on the website.
Yeah, and there's some great history on your website. If you go back through, there's some articles that talk about the various incidents related to the militarization, the mm-hmm. military occupation of the Philippines, and people can get, you know, some good information.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if and we continue, part of our organization's goal is to continue to not only educate our members, but educate the public around the current worsening conditions of the Philippines. So, again, visit our website, come to our events. We offer not only cultural events, but educational events. And we hope to be part of a mainstay in Portland.
And is there an email or a way of communicating, or would you recommend Facebook? How, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, find out more about your group, how would you recommend they get in touch with you?
Facebook is great. On the website, there is also a way to contact us to portlandchirp@gmail.com. And you can email us there.
Anything else that you feel is important to say about this campaign, about Philippines in general, or about the work that you see as necessary in relationship to human rights in the Philippines on this International Day of Human Rights?
Just to reiterate that as we come into International Human Rights Day, that, again, our struggles are linked, our struggles are tied, that as we start to see people mobilize in the United States, we also want to recognize that we can all have a hand in organizing and coming together to make genuine change, not only for people in the United States, but also definitely for people in the Philippines, and that we have a role as people who live in the United States.
Great. Well, I want to thank you both. Thank you, Angelica Lim. Thank you, Joseph Gonzalez. Thank you for coming in very much, coming into KABU and your work on this issue. And I hope everything goes really well at your event tonight.
Thank you.
And that event, again, is at Portland State University at the Native American Student and Community Center. And it is 6:30 to 8:30 tonight. For Whom We Rise Together, International Human Rights Day. This has been Political Perspectives, Part 1. I'm Kathleen Stevenson. If you missed any or want to hear this interview again, you can do it later this morning by going to kboo.fm. And stay tuned. Coming up, Paul Rowland will be back with a report from KABU, a reporter who is in Lima, Peru at the UN Climate Talks. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Wednesdays for an afternoon of jazz. Hosts of Jazz Lives, A Jazz World, and Jazz in the Afternoon play the very best in jazz music. From the historical to the present, and jazz of all stripes. Swinging, smoking, bluesy, funky, new and old, but all good. That's Wednesday afternoons from noon to 4 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And welcome back to the live in the studio KBOO Political Perspectives here. Excuse me, getting myself garbled. My name is Paul Rowland. I was just on from 8 to 9 on Talk Radio, and here I am again. And we are talking with Yana from Lima, Peru. Are you there, Yana? Oh. Hello, Yana, you're with us.
Yes, I am with you.
Oh, great.
Nice to talk to you.
So maybe we'll have a little bit of delay from Lima there. And I'm sorry, I know your last name, but I just forgot it. Tell us your full name.
It's Yana Maximova, M-I-X-A-M-O-V-A.
Okay. And we will have a little bit of a delay, so we'll have to work with that. So tell us what's it like down there in Lima? Where are you at this particular moment?
This very particular moment, I'm at the Hotel Bolivar in the historic downtown of Lima, which has some incredible buildings, some incredible history, and incredible ruins.